Senate Committee on General Government. And I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 310. What I'm going to do is begin with a document that some people have seen and some haven't. It's a document that's called a Disputed Issues Decision Chart. That's the title at the top of it. We have staff making extra copies for those that don't have it. I'm going to give John DiLorenzo about 10 minutes to talk about that. I'm going to give SAFE about 10 minutes to they've seen it, to give them a chance to talk about it. And I want to keep us in the parameters of the 10-minute guidelines I'm giving you. Today, our objective is to go through these things and quite simply decide on what we're going to draft as amendments. I hate to see legislative council drafting a bunch of stuff, killing a bunch of trees, and so on when something doesn't end up getting used. So that's what I'm going to do. John, it's 19 minutes past the hour. I'd like you to start and go for 10 minutes, and then we'll let SAFE have the same. Kind of run us through this chart and what you mean just real quick, would you?
Sure, Mr. Chairman. And I've got extra copies of that chart at tab 11 of my testimony. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is John DiLorenzo. I'm here on behalf of Oregonians for Sound Economic Policy. And what I'd like to do is abbreviate my testimony, my written testimony before you, but I will start, as the chair requested, with a very quick overview of the chart. What we've done is prepared 10 basic provisions and amendments that have been proposed and our comments. The first one on the disputed decision chart is SAFE's recommendation that we proceed with sections 2, 6, and 7 of Senate Bill 310. I picked 2, 6, and 7 of Senate Bill 310 because OSEP does not have any objection with other provisions of Senate Bill 310 that relate, for instance, to the Board of Directors and that sort of thing. Sections 2, 6, and 7 of Senate Bill 310 talk about availability of SAFE records. They would reconnect SAFE to the Public Records Law, Chapter 192. They would, in our view, permit SAFE to invoke the trade secrets exemptions and also keep from the public what they call, quote, sensitive business records. SAFE has proposed that as part of their bill, and it is our recommendation that that not be accepted by the committee. Number two is a conceptual amendment that has been proposed by SAFE to change Section 6 of Senate Bill 310. I think SAFE has provided you a handout on that. That provision would overturn Judge Lipscomb's ruling on the availability of dividend schedules and other records. It's proposed by SAFE. OSEP's recommendation is that it not be adopted by the committee. Then we begin, number three, with the Dash 10 amendment to Senate Bill 310. That amendment would substitute the language of Senate Bill 507, OSEP's suggested records provisions, for the records provisions that have been suggested by SAFE in Senate Bill 310. It would basically maintain the rule in OSEP versus SAFE, but it would also insert additional protections for SAFE, like security protections, protections for employee records, and some of those other provisions that were originally proposed to SAFE during the last legislative session and which SAFE had rejected to await the outcome of the Supreme Court case. OSEP is proposing those, and we suggest that the committee adopt the Dash 10 amendments. Next are the Dash 4 amendments, and I'll talk about those in a minute. Those prohibit SAFE from invoking the doctrine of sovereign immunity to avoid Judge Lipscomb's contempt fine. It's proposed by OSEP, and we suggest that the committee adopt the Dash 4s. Then there are the Dash 11s. Those require submission of SAFE's budget for legislative review. Those amendments are proposed by Senator Walker, and OSEP recommends that the committee adopt the Dash 11s.
And, Mr. Chair, if I could interrupt briefly, the Dash 11 supersedes the Dash 5. SAFE asked me for some additional changes, so I made those in the dash 11, so I don't need the dash 5 anymore.
Okay.
We also have the 310 dash 7s. The dash 7s require SAFE to establish written criteria for groups. Those amendments would entitle any group of employers to establish a group if the criteria were met. So if XYZ Association complies with SAFE's criteria for a group, they can also have a group, along with AOI, AGC, and the other groups. OSIP has proposed that amendment, and we suggest that the committee adopt it. There are then the 310-8s. They require audits of group plans every other year. OSIP has proposed those amendments, and we recommend that the committee adopt them. There are the 310-9s. They require SAFE to issue RFPs or bid out loss prevention service contracts if they are to be awarded to any third party. These are basically in line with some of the suggestions that have already been made by members of your committee. I think Senator Verger was talking about RFPs, and those were the inspiration for the dash 9s. OSEP is proposing them, and we suggest the committee adopt them. Then on Bill 984, there is a dash 1 that relates to a study relating to the assigned risk pool. Those are proposed by Liberty Northwest, and Mr. Bowe is available to discuss those.
Actually, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Mr. DiLorenzo, I thought the dash 1 was my Senate Bill 751.
That may be. I believe that's correct. I believe that is correct. And again,
my notes indicate
this is proof that someone other than I should speak to the dash ones, and Mr. Bowe is prepared to speak to those. And then finally, there are conceptual proposed changes to 984 by DCBS. I see that Ms. Streisinger is here. They are conceptual. They're not yet in LC form. They are also a study relating to the assigned risk pool. They would be another approach to the dash ones. They would not be necessary if the dash ones to 984 were adopted. So that's a very quick overview of where we are.
Yeah, right now we'll just stick with Senate Bill 310, on which I've opened the work session. So go ahead. You want to make a few more comments?
I will, Mr. Chairman. And as we are short of time, I have prepared a rebuttal to many of the comments that were made during the last hearing. And I recognize that many organizations took umbrage at some of our testimony. We didn't mean them to take umbrage. We were trying to present the facts as we were aware of them. I would like to basically say that with respect to contacting SAFE Corporation, we refrained from doing that because we're currently in the midst of litigation relating to SAFE Corporation, and we're hesitant to contact their principals without their lawyers present. After the hearing, their lawyers made it very clear that I am permitted to speak with Ms. Rockland about any issue other than those directly related to the litigation. I began that process. Ms. Rockland was kind enough to exchange some letters with me. Those are in the packets. It's my position that that correspondence does not answer the questions that were propounded, but at least we have a dialogue going on, and I appreciate SAFE's willingness to engage in that dialogue with me, and will in the future avail myself of that opportunity. With respect to AOI's testimony, I just wanted to basically inform the committee that we made very clear in our testimony that the limited agency agreement for AOI applied to only new business, and that is contained at page 6 of our prior testimony. In addition to that, our point is that SAFE Corporation is looking for a way to replace the revenues that will be lost to AOI by virtue of the elimination of their magazine. The further correspondence from Ms. Rockland, the back and forth, does little to shed any light on what the ultimate deal between SAFE and AOI will look like. It is still in negotiation, but we did notice a couple items that I would like to bring to your attention. At page 4 of my written testimony, we cite from a Salem Statesman article that we are also attaching to tab 3 of your materials, and it quotes Mr. Thurber as saying, actually it's a quote from the author of the article, quote, SAFE is negotiating with AOI to change the agreement, Thurber told the SAFE board. The funds for the magazine could be redirected into other insurance programs. In addition, at tab 4, we've attached page 8 of the minutes of the SAFE Board of Directors meeting, which state in part, quote, in mid-year 2004, discussions were entered into to restructure the agreement, moving SAFE support on the Business Viewpoint magazine out of the contract and renegotiating to more specifically focus on loss control and risk management services. AOI has provided its members with risk management services, but at a modest and secondary level. The discussions now involve ramping up the association's involvement in these services. The point, Mr. Chairman, is our fear that SAFE Corporation is looking for a way to replace the revenues lost from the magazine by coming up with a new contract for AOI. With respect to AGC's testimony, we are delighted that AGC and SAFE have agreed that money received from SAFE will no longer be used for political purposes. We only point out that during our testimony before your interim committee, we showed how money originating from SAFE had been used to challenge ballot titles of initiative petitions and had in the past, under another regime, been used to lobby against the union carve-out bill. All that material is attached. Again, we have a philosophic difference with Ms. Rockland. I believe Ms. Rockland concurs with us that those types of things should not happen. Her approach is a trust us approach. Our approach is one that harkens upon what Senator George has already pointed out to this committee, which is that we should not be dependent upon the goodwill of whoever occupies the office of the CEO at SAFE. Instead, the legislature should prescribe statutes which specify what the rules will be so that we need not rely on the goodwill of whoever is there. Enough for the rebuttal. Let me just get to a couple key amendments.
Your time is really up, but I'll let you go and then I'll give them an equal amount of time for two or three more minutes. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, we're adamantly opposed to reconnecting with Chapter 192, the public records law. We take issue with SAFE's representations that many of the contracts would be available under the public records law. We have attached to your materials at tab 2 examples of the kinds of documents which SAFE in the past withheld from production because of the exemptions available to them under the public records law. Now, we believe Ms. Rockland when she says that she would not make the same decision. But again, we hearken back to Senator George's admonition that other regimes would treat the law differently. And so we should have a law that provides what SAFE must disclose and what they shouldn't necessarily disclose, and we recommend our amendments as a substitute. We advocate especially the Dash 4 amendment, and I want to just talk about that, and then I think I'll conclude because I think I've said enough about the other amendments. The Marion County Circuit Court, as you know, has found SAFE in contempt of court. They've imposed a fine on SAFE. They've ordered SAFE to pay the legal expenses caused by the contempt. This is the first agency in the history of the state, as far as we can tell, that has ever been found in contempt of court. SAFE now takes the position that it should not have to pay the fine or the legal expenses because the Legislative Assembly has not stated clearly enough that SAFE can be held responsible for violating a court order. SAFE has taken this position because it believes it is vested with what is called sovereign immunity. Sovereign immunity comes from the old historical idea that the king could do no wrong. It was exactly the kind of we're above the law behavior that brought on the abuses that have brought these matters before the committee in the first place. Allowing SAFE to continue to argue in the appellate courts that SAFE is above the law sends exactly the wrong message to SAFE and any other state agency. Although the trial court disagrees with SAFE, it is clear that SAFE intends to assert sovereign immunity as a basis for appealing the power of the court to impose a fine on SAFE for contempt. Current SAFE management appears to be going out of its way to prove that it has put an end to the abuses which were pervasive within SAFE under the prior regime. One of the ways in which SAFE should prove its point is to pay the fine. We believe that SAFE's legal position, which attempts to avoid Judge Lipscomb's fine, does not further the purpose of assuring the public that things have changed for the better at SAFE Corporation. The -4 amendments will make absolutely clear that SAFE is subject to the court's power of contempt, and that SAFE may not claim that SAFE is exempt from paying the fines or fees imposed by a court for willfully violating orders of the court. Mr. Chair, I think I've already spoken about the 11s, the 7s, the 8s regarding audits. The only reason why I think the 8s should be particularly of interest to you is because, as we stated in our prior testimony, SAFE is moving away from requiring audits for its group programs, and the -8s will require them every other year. And then finally, the RFPs for bidding out loss prevention service contracts. Many organizations have special expertise in their industries. The Grocery Association knows a lot about groceries. The Car Dealers Association knows a lot about car dealers. AOI's plan is heterogeneous. It includes all businesses of all kinds. I doubt very much whether AOI currently has expertise to know about safety issues affecting all businesses of every nature. SAFE is attempting to negotiate a contract with AOI for loss prevention services. It may be the best deal in town, but in order to assure the public that it is, these types of service contracts should be required to be subjected to an RFP or a bid, and the bids for these types of projects should be awarded to the lowest responsible bidder. I'm going to conclude at that point. I thank the chair very much for your patience. I'm available to answer any questions you may have.
I'm going to hold questions for now. Members will probably be inviting you and others back to answer questions as we get to them. I'll give SAFE about 14 and a half minutes to respond as they desire. In the attempt to be fair here, that's the way I want to run the hearing. So,
thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, John. I appreciate it. Thank you for coming, Brenda. You're certainly welcome to hold forth here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, I'm Chris Davey with SAFE Corporation. And with me is Brenda Rockland, the interim president and CEO of SAFE Corporation. We'd like to start first by referring to the color-coded document that I think you've all received, probably more than once. That is a summarization of the more recent changes that we're proposing to Senate Bill 310. The original bill was distributed some time ago. We provided testimony on the original version of that. And over the course of the last two or three months, or perhaps even going back before the session began, we had tried to work with a number of people to take into consideration their concerns about raising the accountability level of SAFE Corporation. And this is being distributed again to you now. You also have a document that's headed SAFE Corporation's explanation of the proposed amendments to Senate Bill 310. What we'd like to do briefly here is just speak to the dark shaded sections of this bill. These have not been to legislative council yet, but this is how we would propose amending this bill to address the concerns. And so let me begin on page one. The section one, number three, deals with the contracts that SAFE has with group or trade associations and the requirements of the board of directors to approve those contracts. And we have amended this to specifically say that those contracts must be supported by sound business and insurance principles. And as a result of the conversations that we had a month or more ago with Liberty and with DCBS, there was a concern that those contracts also say that payments must be made for specified services. And so we've incorporated that in the bill also. Number seven speaks to the requirement for the Board of Directors of Safe Corporation to establish an audit committee and approve an annual plan for internal and external audits. And I would add, in connection with that and the amendment that speaks to a requirement for auditing Safe's group programs, that we are already going forward on that. We, in fact, just signed a contract yesterday with a private accounting firm to come in and audit the leading contracts, and those will be done over the course of the next 12 to 18 months. The next section here that is headed new section is actually, I believe, virtually identical to the Dash 11 amendment. I worked with Senator Walker on this. It was originally a different bill, but we agreed on language that should be incorporated into Senate Bill 310, and so that's the dark shaded section on pages 1 and page 2.
And Mr. Chair, I would agree with Mr. Davey. All of the green section that you'll see throughout here that has my name on it is what I had incorporated into the Dash 11.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, Section 3 reverts the bill back to the current composition of the SAFE Board of Directors. You'll recall in previous testimony we submitted a letter from the SAFE Board who felt that the current configuration of the board was effective and would prefer to see it that way, to continue in that form. Section 4, now going to page 4 of the bill. This is a little cleanup thing that we worked with the Department of Justice on. Has nothing to do with the other issues in the bill, but we do handle claims for the inmate injury program that provides for compensation for inmates in correctional facilities. And the Department of Justice felt that we needed to have something specific in SAFE's authority in the statute for us to handle those claims, as we've been doing for some time. And then in Section 5, a cleanup in statute. The language that we're proposing taking out here is really something that seems to be an anachronism that was left over from maybe 20 or 30 years ago. It requires some kind of a process for the manager of SAFE Corporation that is equivalent to the board members of the Workers' Compensation Board. And that was applicable when SAFE was a state agency, and in fact the board and SAFE were all one at one point. It doesn't seem to fit in the current structure. And then the removal of the dark language in the center of that page is simply to conform this bill with the budget amendments that we worked on with Senator Walker.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Brenda Rockland, SAFE Corporation. I just want to comment briefly on the public records section of the bill, and we've had extensive testimony about the public records issue, and I think it really comes down to this committee, I think, answering the question about whether there's any legitimate public policy reason to have SAFE Corporation treated differently than every other public agency in the state when it comes to public records requests. And we obviously still believe, having had the conversation with many individuals, that it still makes good public policy sense to have SAFE Corporation governed by the same set of rules that apply to every other state agency and public entity in the state of Oregon. Happy to answer any questions about that. The only real comment I want to make today, if you take a look at the document before you, is on page 7. We have inserted two definitions into the Public Records Act, and that would be to further define what is meant by an employer account record and a claimant file. As the committee will recall, the Court of Appeals addressed some of these issues in its recent opinion in 2003, but did not clearly define what is meant by those two categories. We asked the Department of Justice for advice on those issues. These definitions that are set forth on page 7 are the definitions that the Oregon Department of Justice has given us to define those two terms, and that's why we're asking you to put that into the law to clarify what is meant by those two terms.
Okay, that's sub A of sub 33 there.
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
10. I guess I understand, since they told you, they gave you the definitions, I guess I understand the difference in style of writing here. You know, the one means any information obtained, da 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 da, and the other means all records, claims files. And I just kind of saw a little inconsistency there, but that's okay. Do you want to move on through the rest of this before we begin questions, or is that basically it for you?
I think that's basically it for our proposed amendments to 310. We do have a couple comments about the dash amendments that Mr. DiLorenzo discussed with the committee.
Well, this is the time to share those with us.
And let me start with what I believe to be the dash 1 amendments, although Mr. DiLorenzo referred to them as the dash 4, and that's on the sovereign immunity issue.
Yes.
What is the dash 4?
Yeah, I had it marked as dash 1, 2 somewhere. And
Mr. Chair, I believe there is a dash 1 that also does that. We hadn't seen the dash 4s until today, so there may be okay. Two versions.
Oh, there were two versions, and it's the dash 4 that's the most recent.
In fact, I still haven't seen the dash 4.
Okay, well...
Are there huge differences between dash 1 and dash 4?
I can't remember, Mr. Chair. There are so many darn amendments here.
It's okay.
Mr. Lorenzo has an answer to that. Mr. DiLorenzo could probably tell.
Mr. DiLorenzo, come up and sit down. I'm going to ask Brenda to say, but I want you to just briefly give us an answer as to what the difference is between 1 and 4.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The dash 4 amendments are the later amendments. They supersede the dash 1s. The dash 1 amendments originally stated that SAFE's management could not assert the doctrine of sovereign immunity to protect SAFE against the inherent contempt of power and monetary sanctions of the court. The dash 4 have been...
Show us a copy of 4. Where is it? Is it in your tab?
4 is in my chart. Or at tab 11 of
tab
my
11.
Material.
Thank you. That's what I wanted to know.
And it is...
Do you have a copy of them, Brenda?
We do. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The dash 4s are at legislative council's suggestion and go a step further. Besides prohibiting SAFE's management from asserting the defense, they basically affirmatively say that SAFE Corporation is subject to the inherent contempt power of the court, and then also incorporate the prohibitions against asserting the defense. So they both apply to the defense of sovereign immunity. The earlier version just prohibited SAFE management from asserting the defense. The newest version makes it very clear that SAFE Corporation is subject to the inherent contempt power of the court and then also prohibits them from asserting the defense.
Is this difference that big?
Mr. Chair, I don't think, in terms of my comments, I don't think it's a big enough difference. Let me just say this on the dash 4 amendments. I think to the extent the amendments are suggesting that SAFE Corporation or the management of SAFE Corporation should be subject to the contempt powers of a court, that's just simply an unnecessary amendment. That is, I believe, the current state of the law. The issue raised in the OSIP case, the contempt case that was before Judge Lipscomb, was never whether SAFE Corporation was subject to the contempt powers of the court, but whether the legislature had authorized the court to impose monetary sanctions against the corporation itself. We have never argued that the court could not impose a fine on particular managers at SAFE Corporation who may have engaged in contemptuous conduct. So that's really what the legal issue boils down to, is did the court have the authority to impose a monetary fine on SAFE Corporation itself, not whether SAFE Corporation could be held in contempt or whether particular managers could be held in contempt. The circuit court obviously disagreed with our argument on the sovereign immunity issue and held that SAFE Corporation itself could be fined, and that's the particular legal issue that we are appealing in that particular case. What the Dash 4 amendments are an attempt to do, I believe, is to preclude the Court of Appeals from deciding that very legal issue that is in that particular case, and not just for future cases. And I think, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, what I would suggest the Dash 4 amendments really come down to is that Mr. DiLorenzo has let us know that we are looking at probably $600,000 to $700,000 in attorney's fees because the court has ordered us to pay attorney's fees in this particular case. And really what these amendments seem to be suggesting is that Safe Corporation should not be able to make the legal arguments that it had in a pending case and to cut us off from making those arguments in the future so that it ensures he has paid his attorney's fees and that the fine is imposed even if there's a legitimate legal argument to be made there.
Are there questions from the committee?
Mr. Chair, that one was a stretch and just went right over my head. So,
I have a question. It's been pointed out to me, and I'll ask both of you, John, and then I realize you guys didn't use up your 14 minutes, but we may get back to that at some point in time. I'll ask John first and then you, Brenda, or Chris. This whole issue of sovereign immunity is found as an issue related to all state agencies in Senate Bill 989, I think it is, which I think is in front of Judiciary or in that committee. Why would one not go there and handle it more broadly for all state agencies rather than just this one? John?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, ideally, one would do that. The practical reasons are, number one, the chair of the Judiciary Committee has made it clear that that bill will not get a hearing. Number two, SAFE is the only state agency in the history of the state of Oregon to ever be found in contempt of a court. And so, given the fact that the chair of the Judiciary Committee is unwilling to move the bill generically, and given the fact that it doesn't appear to be necessary for any other agencies besides Safe Corporation, we thought that it would be a better idea to attempt to narrow the application here.
Okay. Brenda?
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Walker, I think specifically to respond to that is that even if there were a good public policy reason to do this as to Safe Corporation only instead of to every other public agency again in this state, I think that the key question again for the committee is if you take a look at Section 9 of the Dash 4 amendments, it is to go back in time to January 1st, 2004, not in terms of future conduct that Safe Corporation or any other public agency might engage in, but it's to actually apply these amendments to cut off legal arguments that were made in a particular case in front of Judge Lipscomb in 2004. And so that's really what I'm referring to, is that we're not talking about future conduct and setting policy for future issues. We are actually trying to take care of Mr. DiLorenzo's legal fees and the fine that was imposed in a particular case in August of 2004. There's no other explanation that I can think of on why we're trying to go back in time to January 1st, 2004 and not apply this amendment prospectively if it's good public policy.
Mr. Chair, the court originally fined Safe Corporation in excess of $2 million. After Ms. Rocklin began a course of good faith compliance with the court's further orders, the court, in its discretion, reduced the fine to $700,000. I do not understand why a state agency which wanted to show that it was starting afresh would want to start that process off by not taking its lumps and trying to avoid the court's contempt fine. It makes no sense to me. That is the political reason why we have made this apply to the current proceeding. It just makes no logical sense to me whatsoever.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Walker.
It's not uncommon in this building to have people come here with legislation to head off court decisions. It happens all the time. So I don't think there's anything untoward about that at all.
Okay. Comments, questions? Thank you. I'm going to let everybody step back for a minute, unless, Brenda, do you have some further things that you haven't finished yet?
Mr. Chair, do you want us to make just a couple comments about some of the other dash amendments?
Sure. Yes. Fine.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair.
You mean under 310?
Yes, this is under the disputed issue decision chart that also we just saw for the first time in this form this afternoon, so let me just make sure we're covering this correctly.
I'm basically working off an earlier form of it myself because that's where I made all my notes, so go ahead.
And let's go down the column on the left-hand side. The tab 1 is really speaking to the existing content of Senate Bill 310, which, of course, we support. And so if you're keeping your score chart here, OSEP recommendation is no, SAFE's recommendation is yes. Tab 2 is getting to the specific...
Hold on just a second for me. I hate it when I have so many pieces of paper in front of me that I can't keep track of them. I want to get from my old spreadsheet to the newer one. Okay, now I'm with you. I'm trying to use all my notes on the old one and stay with the new one. So go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Now, tab 2 is the issue that Ms. Rocklin already spoke to about giving more clarity as to what is an employer account record. The purpose here is to protect the confidentiality of records that are supplied to us by our customers and the confidentiality of injured worker records. And so SAFE's recommendation is a yes, again, on number 2. Number 3... This imports the language from Senate Bill 507, which apparently is Dash 10 amendment. And I did distribute a document that looks like this. It's a chart that addresses these public record issues in three columns. The left-hand column, well, the extreme left-hand column speaks about the kinds of records that are being covered here. Under the public records law, some are not subject to disclosure, some are conditionally exempt, and then there's the question of fees and the appeal procedure. The second column shows what how the public records law deals with the specific kinds of records that SAFE may have and that the public may want to get access to. And so that shows the current public records law and how Senate Bill 310 would treat that. And again, our intent there is just to be treated the same as any other state agency that's subject to the public records law. The column that is headed OSEP versus SAFE gives you the current state of the law based on the Lipscomb decision that shows there are only two kinds of records that are protected, and even those, based on that decision, are not protected very well. And then the third column is Senate Bill 507, and as you can see, Senate Bill 507 does bring in some protections from the existing public records law, but really very few. And as you line these up, you'll see that Senate Bill 507, and which is now, I guess, the Dash 10 amendment, is much closer to the current OSEP case than it is to the public records law. Our position is that the public records law ought to apply to SAFE. So we're a no on number 3. That's the Dash 10, tab 3. Tab 4, the Dash 4, we just spoke to that. SAFE is a no on that. Tab 5, the Dash 11, this is the SAFE and Senator Walker amendment, and we agree on that one. We're a yes on Dash 11. Tabs 6, 7, and 8, these are amendments that relate to the way in which SAFE contracts with trade associations. And I guess just to kind of summarize our opinion on the way that these are put together, these are issues that Liberty brought up when we met with them a month or 6 weeks ago. And I think everybody knows that Liberty's goal has been to abolish SAFE Corporation. There was a ballot measure that failed that would have done that. Liberty is still promoting getting SAFE out of the insurance business. They also claim that these trade associations and their arrangements with SAFE are created to provide SAFE with political cover, I believe are the words that have been used. And so in attempting to change the way that SAFE does business here, and this only applies to SAFE, there haven't been really any arguments made that support the need for making these changes on a public policy basis, but they're clearly designed to undermine the relationships that we have with trade associations. They would apply only to SAFE Corporation, and so one can only assume that these are part of a plan to facilitate future attempts by Liberty to undermine the way that SAFE operates. So we're no's on 7, 8, and 9. I would add again on the Dash 8 that we have already addressed that issue through the version of Senate Bill 310 that's before you and the contract that we just signed yesterday to conduct audits of group plans. And then 984-1, again, this is something that we had discussed with Liberty in our meeting some time ago. The assigned risk pool part of this, which is also shows up in the tab 10, promoted by DCBS, we're supportive of that concept, and we believe that there is more work that can be done around the assigned risk pool to get employers back into the voluntary market. We're actively moving forward on that now without any legislation. But the study would be a very effective thing because it will produce some information that's not currently available to us right now. The rest of Senate Bill 984-1 is an attempt to make it much more difficult to price business accordingly. Appropriately. And without going into a great deal of detail about that, it really affects the way that underwriters do their work. It creates a sort of cookie-cutter approach to underwriting where you just look up a price on a chart rather than using an underwriter's professional skill to figure out what is the appropriate price for a risk. There's no issue that's been brought up by DCBS about inappropriate pricing of risks. And once again, this is something that, although it appears to apply to the entire insurance industry, it would have a much greater effect on SAFE than anybody else, because SAFE uses different rate tiers, that's prices according to the degree of the risk within a single company. The private insurance industry tends to have a number of subsidiary companies, and they put a good risk in Company A and a bad risk in Company B, and so these criteria that are applied within a company would not have an impact on the private insurance industry as they would on SAFE. So we're a no on 984-1, and we're a yes on the proposal that DCBS put forward that is tab 10. And we'd be happy to take any questions.
Mr. Chair, I might just mention on the sovereign immunity issue that Tim Wood from the Department of Justice is here as well if the committee has any questions about the Attorney General's opinion on the Dash 4 amendments.
Okay. Senator Verger.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to just address a couple of things with you. One is that there's been the comment made, why is SAFE being lifted, or why it's not being treated like every other agency. And I have to tell you, just on a personal basis, I'm not thinking of all the agencies. I'm here to talk about SAFE. So that comment confuses the issue for me. I look at this as a unique and separate issue than I would anybody else. And I don't know that you're exactly like every other state agency. We won't go into that because that's a lot of questions as far as lobbying, as far as your relationship with other trade associations. I'm not sure about that. I would like to question you a little bit on the AOI contract. I've never had it explained to me exactly why the contract was broken with the magazine, and I don't know if that discussion has ever taken place. I don't remember it being here in this committee. So until I hear that discussion, then I would be somewhat leery of your moving forward in discussions with other contracts with the same people that you've just broken a contract with. So would you address that for me?
Mr. Chair, Senator Verger, in terms of the AOI contract, let me just, I guess, put that in perspective, because we really haven't broken a contract with AOI. I think it's very important any time we enter into a contract that we honor that contract and treat everybody fairly once we've done that. What happened last year is that the board of directors for Safe Corporation had had some concerns raised, I think, about one particular provision of the contract with AOI, and that was the money that was paid to AOI for their magazine called Business Viewpoint. And the concern that I think that the board discussed with staff at that time was that there may very well be legitimate safety information in that magazine, and I think that's why SAFE initially entered into the contract with AOI in terms of the magazine, is a way for us to get out some important safety information to the employers who actually received that magazine. But there were some concerns expressed that in addition to that safety information, there were also some political viewpoints taken in that particular magazine, and the board was concerned about that. And so the board asked the SAFE staff to actually take, would we be willing, and actually directed us to actually sit down with AOI and see if AOI would be willing to talk about renegotiating the contract and maybe in the future not pay for that particular magazine. And so that's really what we've been trying to do over the course of the last few months, is have a discussion with AOI, recognizing that we have a contract with them, but they have been willing to sit down with us and have a discussion about whether, at least going forward, are there some loss control services or some other things that we could contract with while not paying for the magazine. So that's really kind of the state of that at this point.
Is that still an unanswered question?
Mr. Chair, Senator Berger, it is an unanswered question in the sense that we continue to engage in those negotiations with AOI, and met as recently as last week to have the discussion about the business relationship between SAFE and AOI, and figuring out, you know, where we're going to go in the future.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, follow up, please.
Sure.
I appreciate that answer. Thank you. I had never heard that explanation, and that makes perfect sense to me. I read that magazine quite frequently and all the way through, so I can understand your concern there. My other question would be about contracts. In this environment of trying to correct what has gone on before and have a new image and a new name, have you gone through all of the contracts? I know that they run their full course, but have you looked at them in terms of any that you might simply complete paying and be rid of that might be beneficial to SAFE?
Mr. Chair, Senator Berger, we continue to look at contracts really in all areas, and I guess looking at them in the terms of probably certainly the controversial ones we've taken a look at early on to see particularly when the term of the contract expired, but recognizing also that and we've had the Department of Justice help us out on whether the contracts are legitimate and could they be improved on in the future, but recognizing that if we do have a legitimate contract, we either need to honor that contract, or as I think you're suggesting, certainly we could pay a penalty and walk away from that. But again, I think that's an issue that not only SAFE management but the board needs to balance on whether simply, you know, paying a sum of money and not getting anything in return is a wise use of policyholder and other funds money at SAFE Corporation. But certainly as contracts come due, we really are taking a hard look, both with the board getting a chance to see all of the contracts we have at SAFE Corporation and really evaluating going forward, is this a business relationship we should be in?
With your indulgence, Mr.
Yes.
Chair, I'd just kind of like to wrap this up. I would suggest, as you sit here looking at the committee before you, we represent both parties. We are nonpartisan. We're looking at your issue in that way. And I would suggest to you that as a Safe Corporation goes forward with your work, that you try to, as you did with the magazine, remove yourself from things that are identified with either party, and so that you become far more non-political.
Mr. Chair, Senator Verger, I appreciate that comment, and I do think that's one of the things that we've tried to do in Senate Bill 310 by making certain that the Board of Directors has a say before we enter into any of those type of contracts, so that those very issues that you've identified can be taken into account by the Board and the executive team at SAFE, and I appreciate your comment on that.
Okay. There's a direction that I'm going to suggest that we go. And I've asked Judith if she'll get Senator Starr to come back from a work group in which he's, I'm sure, very busily involved to join with us. We have, and I'm going to ask you guys if you would just to step back.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
What we're doing here, I said this earlier, I don't want to kill any more trees than necessary, but kill all that we have to, you know, for purposes of drafting amendments. Some amendments have been drafted. Some of them have gone through legislative council. Others haven't. If you go back to, let's use the color-coded copy. As an example, Senator Walker already has on page 1 of 10 the new section. That's already been drafted up. We don't have to draft that one. Okay? But some of this other stuff is here for us to say, yeah, let's draft these, or let's not. It's a kind of a backdoor way of making some public policy here, because we're not voting up or down exactly, and it doesn't say that we've ended the debate at this point. But I'm going to have us look at that and look at those questions. If you held up the disputed issues chart kind of beside this thing, and went down through it, you kind of see the lay of the land in terms of the options that you choose from. You kind of decide at that point which battles you want to fight and which ones you don't want to fight, and so on and so forth. Does this make any sense to anybody? I'm just trying to find a way to move forward and at least make some decisions within the next hour about what we want drafted and what we're not going to bother drafting. And I'm not going to get between members here, okay? I'm asking you to express your opinions as we move forward. I'm going to operate more as one that's been advised by his cardiologist to be calm. That's right. And I'm going to be calm. To the very moment that I adjourn the committee, I'm going to be calm. So that's kind of how I want to press forward, and I'm going to allow you some latitude in terms of addressing issues that you feel strongly about and that's batted around in committee. Okay? So if Senator George, for instance, you have an issue that you feel strongly about in this list, you can make a proposal. I want to go this way. Well, we'll find out if you get 3 votes to go that way. You follow what I'm saying? And that's just kind of what I'm doing. Okay? I'm going to say this again for Senator Starr, who's just walked in. If, Senator Starr, you feel strongly about any of the items on this document, even as you put the disputed issues decision chart beside it, I'm asking the committee now to say to me, all right, this is something that I really want, and if you get 3 votes, we'll go ahead and we'll push forward with drafting that particular amendment. I realize it's a way of doing things that's kind of loosey-goosey, because anybody can stand up and say, I want to do this one, but the chair is just going to sit here and be calm. You get the 3.
Mr. Chair,
okay.
We're only dealing with Senate Bill 310 right now.
Yes, correct? I've only opened the hearing on 310 right now. And when we get done with that, I hope we can move on to the others. Okay? Am I leaving all of you cold? Mm-hmm. Leaving all of you in the dust? Leaving all of you confused? What's the issue here? Go ahead. Senator Walker.
Well, Mr. Chair, I would move several.
Well, one at a time.
I don't think we're going to...
The only rule I will make is we're going to do it one at a time, okay? We're going to talk about one issue at a time. Right. Find out where the support is.
Well, let's take the one that I think everybody agrees to, and that would be my dash 11.
Okay, now the dash 11...
is the green part.
If you go back to this, just because this is easy, I like color, okay? That would be the bottom of page 1 and the top of page 2. It's the new. It's entitled New Section. I guess it would be a new sub 7. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, and it begins with the not later than April 15th of each year, the board shall.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Except in the dash 11, it's calling it a section 9, so we get confused.
Excuse me, I had two people talking to me. What did you say just now?
Well, the dash 11 calls it a section 9,
okay.
And this calls it a sub 7. I mean, I guess I would represent the dash 11 exactly represents the green because I took it into Mr. Cheek and said, here, draft me an amendment because I didn't like the other provisions that SAFE had in this bill. So I wanted mine separate and apart. So since we've had testimony from SAFE Corporation that they support my dash 11, I certainly support my dash 11 because it came from my Senate Bill 752, and OSEP supports it. I think that would be the easiest place to start.
That's a nice place to start because that's the only one where we get a yes and a yes, I think. Maybe we've got a half of a yes someplace else, but
yes.
Instead of a yes and no, and that's pretty simple. In fact, they've already been drafted, so that's the easiest
there
one.
There they are.
All
so
right?
Would you like me to move those amendments?
No, I'm not moving them
okay,
yet.
Okay, we're just discussing
We're discussing them. Drafts.
Okay.
And these ones have been drafted, and that makes sense. Let's move on.
Okay.
Who wants to suggest something else that we might agree or disagree, get to a point where we're going to draft or not? I mean, certainly Mr. DiLorenzo hasn't been bashful about telling you what you should vote mm-hmm. yes on and no on, and neither has SAFE been bashful about telling you what to vote yes on and no on. I've got a list of all of them in front of me. Go ahead,
Derek. This document that's all color-coded, none of these things that are color-coded are currently in amendment form?
Well, some of them
except
are,
the
except
green.
The green, 11. Senator Walker's,
that's
have
the only
been...
thing that's not, or that is?
Yes, that is. Okay?
So and the rest of this we need to have a discussion on?
That's right. That's what we're doing. That's what the whole process is. And as we said a minute ago, the disputed issues decision chart shows the different perspectives.
Where are you seeing that chart?
Well, the newest
here.
Is it in this?
The newest iteration of it is
tab 11.
This right here.
If you want me to,
the Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I think that I don't know. I mean, this section one on this color coded thing seems to make sense, but I would make a change in the gray subsection 3, and I would change the word may to shall. I don't know why they would say may approve contracts with groups when the board, in my opinion, should approve those contracts, or shall approve those contracts.
Is there a member of legal counsel here to say the difference between may and shall and why it's that way?
We could get them here.
It says, I mean, it says shall everywhere else in that section. I don't know why we would not say shall with the...
So they're required to...
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, right. We understand that. Excuse me, I'm having too many conversations. What did I miss?
Mr. Chair, I think the clarification is that Senator Starr is making sure that, in fact, the by his suggested amendment there from may to shall, it would require, instead of just allow, the
yeah.
board to approve those contracts.
I don't know that you want to go that direction, do you?
Why wouldn't we want the board to have oversight over those contracts?
Are we referring to Section 1?
Referring to Section 1,
Sub 3.
Yeah. Senator Starr is saying you ought to replace the very first word, may, with shall. Brenda, come on up here, just real quick.
Mr. Chair, Senator Starr, I think if you look above that, it does require the boards to approve those type of contracts in Section 2, right above that. It does say that the board shall review and approve all contracts for the provision of insurance to groups or trade associations. And what we were trying to do with Section 3 was to say to the board, you have to approve those contracts, and as a kind of a subset of that, you may approve particular contracts with groups or trade associations, provided they were supported by sound principles of insurance and that they were for specified services.
Well, that's fine. I still don't think you haven't convinced me that word shouldn't be shall.
Well, it could be, but then it seems like to me we may be then suggesting that it would mandate that if it was a contract supported by sound business and insurance principles and for specified services, the board would have to sign that contract and instead of being able to exercise discretion and not sign it.
I remember a long floor debate on the difference between may and shall some years ago, and it's enough to drive you crazy.
Well, there's a difference.
Huh? There is.
There's a difference.
And sometimes may means shall, and sometimes shall means may, too. I don't understand how, but Senator George.
Could we agree that the original language, if it is an amendment, it amended is going to be okay? Because I'm looking at the original bill. Without, you know, in that section, it is the original bill. So what I'm suggesting is that if it's not an amendment, we'll assume it's okay.
Right.
Okay.
We can do that. I mean, for instance, above sub 3 there, all of that is the original safe bill.
Right here. We were just looking for the original bill, Mr. Chair.
Well, the fun part of the... If you look just right here,
yeah.
This is original bill.
I know. It doesn't have line numbers, mm-hmm. which drives me crazy.
But it's prettier. Never mind.
It has colors. The question I have, Mr. Chair, is the -7 amendments that are proposed by OSAP. Talk about the group plans. And I can't tell if that's in Section 1 or not. It's not...
Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, Senator Walker, SAFE's handout does not include any of OSEP's suggested amendments.
Okay.
OSEP's chart includes SAFE's amendments and OSEP's amendments and Liberty's amendments. So what I tried to do in preparing the chart, that's called the Disputed Issues Decision Chart, was be inclusive of all the amendments I knew about.
So the -7 amendment isn't anywhere in Senate Bill 310 currently.
Well, no, and it's not on SAFE's handout either. SAFE's handout only includes amendments that SAFE is supporting, not all amendments. So I would suggest that the committee consider using the disputed decision chart to at least make some policy choices, because some of these choices are mutually exclusive.
And that was my point.
Okay.
That I there's a bunch missing out of this.
Okay.
That I want to.
That's why I asked you to hold them up beside one another, and that way you're working off both, and your point's well taken, and so is yours. Vicki or Senator Walker suggested the green that got us on this page for a minute. Mm-hmm. If you want to move over to the other and argue that, although we were kind of in the middle and we went to legislative council just now to get somebody down here to talk about the implication of this change from may to shall, and I think that Brenda would probably not be
where I was.
Huh?
He said he was having more fun where he was. Now we're arguing about may and shall.
Yeah, what
but
can
you
I
know,
say?
That's the best part.
All right, while we're waiting for them, somebody want to push the sevens and raise some questions? As I look at it, requires SAFE to establish written criteria for groups, entitles any group of employers to establish a group, quote-unquote, if criteria is met.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, what are the criteria and what does this add to Senate Bill 310? What does this really add? Excuse me for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
(Clears throat) Anybody want to make the case for, do you want to draft this dash 7, or are you wanting to push this into it or not?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I mean, we already have a draft. We already have a dash 7 that's drafted.
Yeah.
What do we need to draft it again for?
I think he meant accept.
That he wants to see if we
agree. Yeah, that's right. In some cases, they're not drafted, and some they are. And this is one that is already drafted, right?
Correct.
That's dash 7.
Correct.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Relative to the dash 7, the concept of any government entity showing preference, to me, is just offensive. And the very idea that we would set up a criteria that in which a qualified group could participate is something that I approve of. That fits my model of what government should be, and that is fair. So
you're saying you're in favor of the dash 7 amendments?
Mr. Chair, I agree with Senator George because I think the way it is now, SAFE determines who gets to participate as a group employer, and I don't think anybody else gets to make that choice for themselves. And the dash 7 would allow any employer, any group of employers that meets SAFE's written criteria, participation in a group plan, to be offered the same group plan. So one group doesn't get favored over the other with special rates and special deals as it is now. I think each group really, they negotiate, and some groups get a really good deal and some...
Okay, I guess I'm just... I understand what you're saying. I guess I'm just playing devil's advocate for a minute and saying you're talking about written criteria. Mm-hmm. I look at... And funny, we're going back to the other page. The criteria that I see are criteria like sound business practices and insurance principles, and that they're for specified services. So isn't it already in 310? I'm still wondering, the way dash 7 is written, it says establish written criteria. Have we already done that over here under this sub 3 of section 1? You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Have we done that or haven't we? Do you want to go with the dash 7s that, as they're written, that essentially say that that SAFE shall establish written criteria for participation in rating group or dividend plans?
Well, Mr. Chairman, am I confused, but aren't these employees that are being rewarded for good work?
Mm-hmm.
Am I? That's not the idea here in the group.
That's Mr. Chair and Senator.
I'm going to ask Corey Freifinger if she can come up and add some confusion to this. I want to know the effect of dash 7 as versus...
This must be employers, not employees.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Corey Streisinger, Director of the Department of Consumer and Business Services. There is already statutory guidance on when groups can and can't be formed by any insurer, SAFE, Liberty, or any other workers' compensation insurer. And I am concerned from an insurance regulatory standpoint that we not lose sight of the statutory reasons for groups. The statutory criteria are in ORS 737.316, and that statute actually requires DCBS to approve any proposed group, and there are some criteria having to do with membership in an organization and participation levels, but also and most importantly, the statute provides that the grouping of employers has to be likely to substantially improve accident prevention or claims handling for the employers and reduce expenses. And those are, we then have rules which set out criteria, and we also look at that issue of whether the group is likely to substantially improve accident prevention, claims handling, and reduce expenses. We would certainly be very uncomfortable with taking that regulatory oversight out. That is, we would not want SAFE to have the ability to approve groups that don't meet the statutory and regulatory criteria. I'm not... the dash 7s do make me a little uncomfortable in that regard because they seem to imply that SAFE would establish criteria for groups, and then any group meeting SAFE's criteria would automatically be considered a group for workers' comp purposes. So I am a little concerned about that.
Could I have Mr. DiLorenzo respond to that?
Yes, stay there, Corey. We may need you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. The Dash 7s are not designed to supplant or remove any of the criteria which Ms. Streisinger has already spoken to. In order to be a group, one still needs to meet all the statutory criteria and all the rulemaking criteria that DCBS specifies. The question is whether or not SAFE then has to provide group status, though, to a group that otherwise would qualify. Right now, SAFE can pick and choose among qualified applicants which ones they were going to make a group and which ones they're not. For instance, there have been some trade associations who have been denied group status by SAFE, and there have been others who have been given group status. All we're saying is within this structure,
How is that different from the other insurance industry folks? Don't they all have kind of the right to pick and choose? I mean,
yes.
It's a market-driven thing.
You're right, Mr. Chair, but the one difference is SAFE is the government, and the other insurance companies are not.
It's the government entity we created that we wanted to run like an insurance company. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've created our own confusion here. Senator Starr.
Just a question. Which groups has SAFE denied?
It is my understanding. It's my understanding that years ago, when Mr. Gilliam ran NFIB, that NFIB was not permitted a group. And I can get you the other information too. There have been a number of other groups that have asked for group status that I know exist. And Senator Starr, I'd be delighted to get you that information. But I can't speak authoritatively to it now. What I know for sure is that SAFE can pick and choose at this point, as long as somebody meets Ms. Streisinger's criteria and the statutory criteria, then it's up to SAFE to decide whether they're going to make that group a group. What I'm suggesting is once you get beyond that, SAFE should have a rule, and if anybody qualifies, they should have a right to have a group.
Well, Mr. Chair, I don't think the Dash 7s make that clear. If we want to adopt the Dash 7, I think it should make it clear that a group must meet the criteria under ORS 737.316 to be a group, and then once they meet that criteria, then SAFE Corporation shall have its own criteria for participation under the SAFE plan.
Senator George.
Well, that gets to my question. Corey, would it be possible to do that without, in other words, would it be possible for them not to come under that authority, which you articulated, in any fashion? I mean, it would seem like they would be obligated to use your standards as the standards with which they would judge that. Then they would already be under that ORS.
Mr. Chair, Senator George, first of all, I think it would be useful to make that clear. This is a statutory amendment, and we would not want to run any risk of it superseding the existing statute in that regard. I will say also, and if I may, Mr. Chair, we do have two other modest concerns with the Dash 7s and Dash 9s. One of them is that currently insurance regulation treats SAFE and Liberty and other participants in the market the same from an insurance regulation standpoint, not a governance set of issues, but an insurance regulatory standpoint. And I think there's great value to that. Different standards for insurance regulations may have unexpected outcomes in different types of situations. So I will say that this is would be a change to that general principle. From an insurance regulatory standpoint, it would treat SAFE differently from other participants in the market. I do have some concerns about also the interrelationship between the Dash 7s and the Dash 9s. The Dash 9s deal with the how in a group setting safety services are provided and would require, as I understand it, safety services to be contracted out on an RFP basis. Now, when we're dealing with one of these groups, again, to meet the statutory standard of likely to substantially improve accident prevention, we want insurance carriers and employer groups to have flexibility and creativity in how to achieve that goal. And if that is through loss prevention services that the group itself provides due to its specialized expertise, for example, that may be one of the ways in which we actually achieve safety through that group contract. So if SAFE is on the one hand not given the flexibility to select groups that it believes will aggressively pursue safety, and on the other hand must contract out rather than arrange loss prevention services with an organization, we are in a situation where the safety achievements that we get through groups, I'm concerned, might be somewhat at risk.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator George,
wouldn't the May in line four solve that problem? They still maintain the discretion as to whether they proceed with the other requirements.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, Senator George, line four of the...
Dash nine.
Oh.
Dash nine. You jumped from seven to nine, excuse me.
Well, I thought that you were making reference to...
Well, she was talking about both.
Mr. Chair, Senator George, line six says that they may enter into such agreements only if they go through an RFP process. So, Mr. Chair, Senator George, as I read this, and I may be reading it incorrectly, for example, Associated Oregon Loggers, who you heard from at your previous hearing, loss prevention services are provided directly by AOL without an RFP process because of their specialized relationship and expertise in the logging industry. I read this to say that SAFE's group contract with AOL could not, in fact, have AOL providing those loss prevention services, that those loss prevention services would have to be put out to bid. Now, I may be reading it incorrectly.
Mr. Chair, they would have to be put out to bid in future contracts, but AOL may very well be the lowest qualified bidder, the best game in town. The whole purpose of the amendment is to address favoritism, and if the responder is the lowest qualified bidder, to be qualified, you would have to meet the statutory criteria anyway.
Well, I want to do something here. I asked Corey to come up.
Yeah.
Wait, no, hang on, John. Stay there. I'm trying to be efficient. I asked Corey to come up because you look at the whole milieu in which insurance, workers' comp, is working. You're looking at the whole marketplace. You're interested in the whole marketplace and in keeping Oregon in the position it's in, if not improving its position, relative to how workers' comp insurance works. I need to keep you there. But since we have John here, I want Brenda to come up as well so that we can have immediate feedback on the questions as they go. I think that's the fairest way to do this. Okay? I realize I might have the three of you sitting there till you want to cry, but actually, my health situation isn't going to let me go more than another 45 minutes, and we're going to do what we can get done in that time. All right? So, I don't want us jumping around too much. Are you wanting to talk about seven? Are there three people that feel like if we make some changes, we're going to do seven or not?
Mr. Chair, are you contemplating combining whatever amendments we agree to today into one master amendment? Is that what you're trying to accomplish today? I'm just trying to figure out what it is, because
okay.
We have amendments already drafted.
Some are already drafted, but others aren't already drafted. Some of these...
No, is your goal, Mr. Chair, to decide today which amendments we want to include in this bill?
Right.
Or
well,
which amendments that we need for that we need to get drafted?
Well, even with seven just now, you've said it needs some tweaking. At least a few of us have said this dash seven. I think Senator Walker said that a minute ago. It needs some tweaking. You don't tweak it unless you're going forward with it. Okay? So, yes, Senator Starr, I am sure. I'm showing the direction that we're heading. We're not taking any votes on it today. We always reserve the right, I guess we're politicians, to change our minds. But I want to come up with amendments for drafting, and even the ones that have been drafted, it sounds to me like they're going to get some changes to them. Dash 7 is the first one, and as a case in point, I don't know exactly. I know that Senator Walker made some notes. I don't know what all you want to change in it, but you don't change it unless there's three of us that want to go forward with that dash 7.
Mm-hmm.
Corey is one that I'm looking at because you had some concerns about 7. I'm concerned, and I wrote these notes earlier about 7, about the criteria. I don't understand what the criteria will be when you use that word. You know, the criteria I look at are already in 310 Section 1, sub 3, the criteria ought to be around sound business and insurance principles and specified services. Am I barking up the wrong tree, or am I in the wrong category, or what's the matter with me?
Mr. Chair, I can inform you as to what the intention was of the drafter of the amendment. The intention was that SAFE would draft the criteria, and they're different criteria. It's a totally different set of criteria. The intention behind the Dash 7 amendment was that once a group qualified under the other statutory criteria, SAFE would draft generic criteria. If a group of employers met the statutory criteria, DCBS's rules, then SAFE would have no discretion as long as the applicant met SAFE's generic criteria. The intention behind the amendment is to take from SAFE's discretion the ability to just pick and choose from among a group of people who otherwise meet the other statutory.
Okay, I understand that.
That's the intention. So it's SAFE's criteria, too.
Thank you, John, for clarifying. Corey, question to you. What does that do to the environment in which insurance is operating? Will you have some people saying, can't use SAFE anymore for that reason, or does it upset this balancing act that we've had in the state? I realize that Liberty thinks it's already upset, and we'd like to upset it, you know.
Mr. Chair, the issue I would have is, can you draft criteria that actually do any more than the ones that are in front of you, not in the Dash 7s? That is, sound business and insurance principles, promoting accident prevention, efficient claims handling, and so on. Those are subjective criteria. The issue, I think, is subjectivity versus objectivity. Listening to Mr. DiLorenzo, it sounds like he anticipates that the Dash 7s would result in a sort of checklist type of criteria so that you could say it meets it, it doesn't meet it. My concern is that in the insurance area where we're trying to promote general concepts like safety, which is the purpose here, each of these arrangements is going to be somewhat different and unique. And again, we want to promote creativity in how to achieve safety through a group arrangement. Whether that can be done through development of a checklist that is objective enough to meet the intent of the Dash 7s, I don't quite see how that would be feasible, but those are my concerns.
If I were writing them, I would say make it as safe as possible. Senator Starr.
The question that I have, I guess probably for Brenda, if this bill or this amendment were brought into the bill and you had to live by this, basically, if I read this correctly, whatever you negotiate with one group, you'd have to give that same sort of agreement to every group. And so does that preclude you from having group contracts that are industry specific that allow for the variances, vagaries, the differences between groups of employers?
Mr. Chair, Senator Starr, I'm assuming that that's what's behind this, to essentially set this up so that if one association got a contract, we would simply have to do it for the next. And I'm assuming the intent behind this is to eventually maybe have trade associations and groups say, well, this isn't going to work with SAFE Corporation, and so we're not going to be able to do business with SAFE Corporation. Because I think for all of the reasons that the director has talked about, in this particular area, there really isn't any reason that we've heard that SAFE Corporation ought to be treated differently than any other insurance company, and it seems like there isn't anything that anybody's pointed to specifically to say it's not working under the current rules and statutes that the director has talked about.
So that makes it more difficult for SAFE to operate as a sound, functioning workers' compensation insurance company, doesn't it?
Mr. Chair, Senator Starr, yes.
Senator Walker, did you have a question?
Yeah, I did, Mr. Chair. Thank you. The concern I have is that, during the last year, I had someone who's a member of Associated General Contractors who contacted me and doesn't like being in the group, but they have to be in that group to get the special deal on workers' comp. So they pay this fee to AGC, and then they get these special rates on workers' comp. Why can't they form their own group with like-minded employers without being a member of AGC? Because Safe Corporation won't allow them to. And I think that's what the Dash 7 would allow them to do.
Brenda, can you respond to that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Walker, I think the concern there, though, is that, you know, part of the advantage of being part of the group is to have the loss control and the safety work effectively. And so it's this being a member of an association or a group where there's some pressure to bear put on members to be safe as part of this program, and to just say to anyone, well, you don't have to subscribe to those loss control and safety principles, but you can simply get the same group discount by being in the same industry. I just don't think works.
I'm visualizing testimony that I heard before. Remember how they talked about, and I think it was the contractors, they have four trucks or vans or big SUVs that take too much gas, right? And they're in four parts of the state, and they're spreading out, and they're taking their charts and their programs, and they're showing people how to work more safely. If you set up another one, then that other one would either have one or two or three, you know, and there'd be, I think, a certain efficiency lost. I don't know how many new groups you could set up that would have the same amount. I'm just asking. Is there a comment that you wanted to make, Corey? I'm reading body language.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, not on that point. I didn't want to interrupt. I would point out that groups are experience rated, so that the rate that the group is charged is based on the group experience. To get a lower rate, you have to actually show better safety. So, Mr. Chair, to Senator Walker's point, there are some employers who have excellent safety records on their own and would actually do better not being in a group. There are others who would benefit from the safety aspects of a group in that it would bring their collective loss experience down. I don't know if that responds to your point.
Okay. Senator George had a question. Do you want to add another question?
No, not right.
I want to say bingo, because the point of it is that if a person has, you know, the ratings, or the group has the rating, you're going to be allowed to adjust that to this new group. But as far as coming in as a group and then being it being assumed that you would be treated fairly, okay, as I approach you with my new group, you're going to rate that on the basis of risk and history. And so what's the problem by saying that we'll have a fair criteria in which every group shall be measured? Because it is still a government entity. And, you know, my recollection of reading what this organization was formed for was to be a safe harbor for those who were having trouble out there in the market. And the assumption was that it would, in fact, be able to provide, you know, special insurance, and that it would be a place where if they weren't getting treated fairly in the open market, they could be treated fairly here. I think we just need to amplify that by stating that there shall be a fair process. And if you meet the criteria and you can accept the rating of your group, then you'll be able to participate.
What a response from Corey on that?
Comment?
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, Senator George, my comments have been more directed toward the practicality of how do you come up with workable criteria. Conceptually, I don't disagree with what you said. Ms. Rockland may, but I don't. The question is, how do you actually come up with a set of criteria that allows groups to actually be creative and different in how they're going to achieve this enhancement of safety? And I don't know what the answer is. If the Dash 7s are passed, I'm sure that Ms. Rockland and her staff will work hard to come up with that type of criteria. I would be reluctant to see that creativity limited.
If they remain subjective criteria, however, which you indicated they likely would, rather than objective, because it's so hard to create objective criteria in this arena, wouldn't you just be asking for a whole bunch of lawsuits back and forth and struggles? I mean, every time they would make a decision, it would be a subjective decision because the criteria we've created are subjective. Those that don't like it are going to have to holler about it and raise a ruckus of some sort. I'm just trying to figure this out. Senator Starr, you look like you're about to say something. I know, I'm desperate.
Well,
I'm
something
picking
that you. I shouldn't say, so I'm going to bite my tongue.
Oh, okay. I guess I can... Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, I'm probably saying something I shouldn't say here because I haven't double-checked with
now
my staff.
Now we know we're having a good hearing.
Because that was really dangerous. I'm not aware of us having received any complaints from entities that wanted group treatment and have been turned down. We do have non-discrimination provisions in our laws. I'm not aware of the insurance division or the workers' compensation division receiving any complaints of unfair treatment from unsuccessful groups, so to speak.
Okay.
Normally, if there is a problem, we do get those complaints. Again, my staff may be sitting in the back of the room going, ah! But
in the last few minutes, one of you has written to me a little note that says that if Corey has concerns about 7 and 9, then I have concerns about 7 and 9. And what she's obviously doing is saying, your job is to sit here and look at the whole environment. Not safe, not liberty, but look at the whole environment. Question. Are the three of you that want to work with us doing Dash 7 and fixing it or not?
Mr. Chair, I was the person who wrote that I have concerns. If Corey has concerns, I've just heard Corey's testimony through another committee on workman's comp. It's a big picture, and it's complicated. I have some concerns. My concerns that I think are very serious ones here are the audit piece. And I want to be sure that we've addressed that. Mr. Davies said that they had signed some agreements or something. I'd like to look closely at the audit piece. The other piece that seems to be very cantankerous here is the public records piece. And I have a list here, I think that came from SAFE, about which records other agencies are required to show, and they are asking that they have the same luxury of having those records kept secret. And I went through those, and it looks to me like a lot of it is executive session material, computer programs and employee investigations and so forth. But those to me are very serious things. The other thing is the sovereign immunity thing is in the court.
And I do believe that those are the biggest questions. We've ended up on 7 and 9 or 7.
Uh-huh.
Maybe because we're trying to nibble around the edges and
right.
get to the more
right.
serious stuff later, and how much later we go is, I know I'm not going more than another 30 minutes this afternoon. I asked a question, and I haven't got a direct answer. Are there three of you that want to proceed forward with working? I mean, I've raised my issue several times, and I'm still very confused about the issue of how you can do a Dash 7 that will have such subjective criteria in it, because you can't write objective criteria. So I go back to the way Senate Bill 310 with this colored copy, whether it's a may or shall, Senator Starr, I think the criteria have to be just sound business and insurance principles. People have a sense of what those are.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the... I'd like to support the Dash 7 with the change that they must first meet the criteria under ORS 737.316, and then we can get to what you are discussing, which is the criteria would be... may approve contracts with groups or trade associations provided that the contracts are supported by... I hate that description. It really is nothing. Supported by sound business and insurance principles. What does that mean?
Well, I bet Corey could tell us.
But give it a whirl.
Mr. Chair, Senator Walker, I think it is going to be dependent on the circumstance, and there are some things that it would exclude. It would exclude entering into contracts for political purposes, for example, which is a subject that you have all discussed. It would exclude the concept of favoritism for other reasons. A business board, and this one operates in a public meeting setting, I would interpret that language to say that a business board must articulate and must have business reasons that are for entering into any contract that it enters into. Mr. Chair, Senator Walker, it's certainly true that it's a broad general statement. I will tell you that in the discussions that I facilitated between SAFE and Liberty, many, many hours were spent on that issue trying to figure out how to come up with something that was more concrete but that also met the needs of a business and an insurance company to you know, be flexible and make smart decisions. And all those hours didn't come up with a perfect solution.
And if you just spent another 50 or 100 hours, you could have solved this all for us, and we wouldn't have, you know. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, we all concluded that another 50 or 100 hours would not have helped.
Okay. Mr. Bogue got
That's the one thing you agreed on, right? That another
Correct,
50
sir.
Hours wouldn't have helped. I'm with Senator Verger. I see these big issues at this point that I'd like to get to. Senator Walker has asked if there's some support for her on trying to get 7, right?
With some changes. But, Mr. Chair, I don't think I support the Dash 9, given the conversation about group contracts. The contracts are entered into with groups to specifically to talk about their safety, what they can do to provide safety for their members. That's all part of the sound business principles, I believe. So I would go with the Dash 7, but not the Dash 9. And as I indicated many times when I was tossing around whether I was going to support ballot measure 38 or not, it finally dawned on me after hundreds of hours of research that the number one reason for low workers' compensation rates is the preventing injuries in the first instance with good safety programs. It's not the existence of SAFE Corporation. SAFE Corporation does nothing to lower workers' comp rates. It is the existence of safety programs and those kinds of changes. So,
I agree with you. I understand that.
Thank you.
Senator Walker has said that she's in favor of the Dash 7s modified. Is she joined by a couple other people? Senator George? Anybody else?
I haven't decided.
Senator Starr hasn't decided, and Senator Verger and myself both have, how did you say it so well? You have concerns, and so do I at this point. So we aren't moving forward at this point with 7.
Mr. Chair, I want to go just back and make one comment, though, to Senator Walker, because I do have a lot more peace of mind in the green that you brought up. And it does say an operation. It that you can call them in any time, and it's not just limited to budget in your amendment of the Dash 11. And they have supported that. And I have other concerns, but I want you to know that that does give me more peace of mind.
And
thank you, Senator Verger.
That's a good point. Thank you very much. I'd like to just use your little note to me. Let's talk about the audit question that you've raised and see if we can get to some yeses. Which ones are we looking at now? Can you help me out here? Senator Verger, are you wanting to push a particular...
It's the Dash 8s. And then when Mr. Davies made his presentation, he said that in some way you had addressed that. So perhaps you should just repeat what you've addressed.
The Dash 8?
Mr. Chair, Senator Verger, we believe we've dealt with that again in Senate Bill 310. And if you take a look at page 1... we did include, because there has been some discussion about of auditing of group contracts, where we're, again, in terms of board accountability, asking that our board of directors set up an audit committee composed of board members who would then actually approve an annual plan for both internal and external audits involving the corporation, which again would include and could include group and trade association contracts. And the other thing that we've talked to the committee about is that
when we prepared the report to the governor on February 15th, we recommended to the governor that SAFE's group and trade association contracts should be audited by an independent auditor. And in fact, we have moved forward with that. And as Mr. Davey mentioned, I in fact signed a contract yesterday with an external audit firm to start taking a look at our group contracts. So we do intend to do that. We think our practice has demonstrated that we're committed to do that. We've made that promise to the governor and to this committee, have moved forward in that direction. And we think by giving the board that accountability to make certain we have an audit plan every year, that really is covered by Senate Bill 310, and there really isn't any reason for the dash 8 amendments. And I guess I'd go just make a couple comments about the dash 8. What that essentially does is ties the hands of the Secretary of State Division of Audits and essentially commands that they do these audits every 2 years. And it would seem that that this body, working with the Secretary of State Audits Committee, would want to not necessarily have that set forth in statute. There just simply isn't any reason to do that every 2 years if, in fact, it turns out that SAFE is in fact doing independent audits on its own in any event.
Yes.
She mentioned page one of the bill, page one of your testimony, page one of this.
Mr. Chair, Senator Starr, thanks for asking me to clarify that. It's, again, the color-coded bill.
But those are just audits of SAFE, not audits of the contracts. Dash 8s are the audits of the contracts, and that's the difference. And I agree with you. I don't think we should have the Secretary of State do it, but let's have somebody else do it. I think that's important.
In fact, I need to add, does everybody have a copy of this letter? Everybody has a copy of a letter from the Secretary of State's office saying that they had a couple concerns with the dash 8s, and let me just read a couple. The amendment asks our office to determine whether expenditures for services provided by the private person are an appropriate use of money for the industry accident fund. Next paragraph, determining whether the expenditures are quote-unquote appropriate. They don't think they can make those kinds of determinations. And then the third and final paragraph, the statutes, Oregon statutes have already established a mechanism for receiving audit requests, and that's through the Joint Audit Committee. And this bypasses that. You've got the letter in front of you, so I just wanted you to dig it out of your heap of stuff.
Well,
so.
I think, Mr. Chair, I think that just provides the impetus for us to just tell states they have to do an RFP, have an independent audit come in, and make that available to the legislature. I think that the audits that the dash 8s contemplate and the audits that are in the color-coded version of the bill are separate and distinct.
Mr. Chair, can I just speak to the dash 8s?
Go ahead.
The difference between the dash 8s and the version in 310 is not only as Senator Starr has outlined. I read 310 as applying to audits of SAFE itself. But this is a perfect example of a philosophic difference between us. SAFE's approach is, trust us, we'll audit the group plans. I see SAFE's renegotiation of contracts in changing mandatory audit provisions to permissive audit provisions as giving me some hesitancy to trust SAFE Corporation, especially when Ms. Rockland is no longer there. It seems to me that the statute should provide that every other year, at least, those group plans are audited, and that's all this statute would do. So really, the difference between our approaches is one that just relies on SAFE's discretion and one that requires audits under the statute. If the Secretary of State doesn't want to do the audits, then SAFE should do an RFP and find a private firm to do the audits. But the point is, the audits should be done, and it shouldn't be within SAFE's discretion to decide whether they're done or not.
Well, comment on that. I would rather an outside auditor do it than another part of the government. I mean, if it's a government agency and you've got Secretary of State, that's like sending the fox to the hen house. Nobody's going to take that much stock in it. I think an external audit, I think external and internal audits are just fine, but I think that Safe Corporation needs to avoid any perception of anything being wrong, and the audit a lot of times dispels that.
And Mr. Chair, Senator Berger, that is precisely the reason why we have entered into a contract with an outside external auditor to take a look at these group contracts, and so that process is underway. Certainly in Senate Bill 310 on the color-coded copy on page 1, what our intent there really was to go beyond not just an audit of Safe Corporation, but really that would allow the flexibility for the Board of Directors to approve an audit plan that would include auditing our group and trade association contracts, so the Board could direct that. And in terms of Mr. DiLorenzo's proposal, I just don't think it's cost-effective. I don't think it's efficient to say, even if we have a full audit of a particular contract, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, and it's a long-term contract. Why would we do that every 2 years or every year, whatever the proposal might be, when there's absolutely nothing wrong and there's simply not a reason to take a look at the contract every 2 years? That's just an unnecessary expense that I don't think you would be justified for every one of these contracts.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
Well, I know, I think you might be right in that. So let's think about how we could go about doing that. Why don't we do it after you sign a contract with somebody? In the first 2 years after you sign the contract, you do it, and then upon renewal, you'd have to do an audit so that the legislature and yourself would have that information rather than every 2 years. Let's just do it on a more rational, let's create a more rational timeline. But I tend to agree with Mr. DiLorenzo on this as well, that we have your word on it, and that's good. And I think the agency is moving ahead with audits of these now, and I think that's positive. But at some point in time, leadership is going to change, and we ought to institutionalize some of the things that you're bringing to this agency.
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Starr, I don't disagree with that, but I don't think, not intending to go anywhere, but let me just say that it's not just my word on this. It is institutionalized in the sense that what we have tried to do with Senate Bill 310 is really focus on the accountability issues in terms of the Board of Directors, and I think that's a directive from the legislature to the Board that for the first time, there really does need to be an audit committee composed of members of the Board, and that audit committee has the responsibility each year and accountable to the legislature to come up with an audit plan that talks about the particular audits that should be done by an external or an internal auditor that year. And that's, I think, what gives us the business flexibility to say, well, we're going to audit this group contract this year because it's up for renewal. We're going to audit that other group contract next year. But it really does put it on the Board of Directors, as it should, to say, come up with an audit plan that makes sense for Safe Corporation and these group programs. And I think that language does that. And I think you can hold the Board accountable and me accountable to make sure that's done.
Mr. Chair, that's easy for you to sit there and say, but really the legislature has no ability to hold you or your board accountable. We don't. We don't control your budget. We don't control, other than Senate confirmation of board members, but once they're there, we can't do anything. We don't have any ability to hold you accountable, necessarily. So I think a little more specificity in the language may be helpful.
Senator.
Yes.
Berger.
Mr. Rackman, I appreciate your comments. For me, it would give me a lot more peace of mind to have it in there that you would do it. And the reason I say that is, in all fairness, your past board literally either went to sleep at the wheel, didn't know what was going on, or approved things that blow my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I could not possibly just buy into the fact that a new board is going to be responsible for the audit committee. And that's unfair to you, because you had nothing to do with that. But you see what happens when people make mistakes, then everybody has to pay. Because now there's this distrust, and you have to go through building the trust back. And the board will have to do that with me. So I would just have to have some assurance that the audit is going to be done by an outside, and I know you're willing to do that, have already signed to do it, but I would remove it from being the judgment of the board.
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Verger and Senator Starr, I'd be happy to, as kind of a compromise here, to work on language, because I hear what you're saying. I just don't think the dash 8 is really the direction to go, because there it's directed at, again, the Secretary of State audit. It's every 2 years, which I don't think gives us the business flexibility. So certainly be happy to work on some additional language in 310 that's maybe more specific than what we've got there now. I'm just suggesting I don't think dash 8 is really gives us the business flexibility we need in the future to put that actually in statute.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Mr. DiLorenzo, are you willing to work on something that would alter the dash 8s and provide some more specificity, but not maybe to the degree that the dash 8s are on?
Mr. Chair and Senator Starr, I would be delighted to work with Ms. Rockland to put together such a compromise.
Mr. DiLorenzo, Ms. Rockland, I'm glad that you guys be glad to work on it. I'd like to ask Senator Starr if he'd like to be the referee.
Sure, why not? I have plenty of time.
All right. Let's do that. You come back with a. I think you understand what Senator Verger was saying. Mm-hmm. I've read the letter of concern about the Secretary of State. I think it needs to be independent, outside, external. You get our drift.
Mm-hmm.
Senator George.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Rockland kind of reinforced for me with what she just said, the need for this. And that is, appears to be a continuation of we're going to do it our way and you can just stay the hell out of it. And with that, I would like to recommend that we do provide some of the language that's in Dash 8 that determining whether or not the expenditures of service provided the private person and all this sort of stuff, all of these comments about some sort of accountability criteria, and that there be some significant independence. And I'm troubled by remembrance a few years ago with an ODOT audit and with the results, and I think I've articulated my concern about what happened there. The person was hired to give an answer, and that is inappropriate. We need a legitimate analysis of what's going on. I think that can be done with some criteria in there that provides that there will be significant independence for this auditor.
Okay, so what I have concluded here and the direction I feel from the committee is that Senator Starr is going to work at redoing the Dash 8 amendment with input from both Mr. DiLorenzo and Ms. Rockland, and bring that back. Okay, so far we haven't gotten momentum on 7 or 9, but we have amended on 8. We've got Senator Walker's material. I want to return to one thing, and that was on Section 1, Subsection 3, this may, shall, question, because I was told that we could return to this once we resolve 7 and 9 and all that stuff.
That's from your original bill. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've gone back to this color-coded copy. That's what I'm working off of. Okay? Judith went down to Legislative Council. Do you have an answer for us here?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Yes, Legislative Council reconfirmed that the plain reading of the words is the correct interpretation, and that is may is always discretionary, shall is always mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, we're adding in Section 1, Sub 1 is talking about that the board shall, which is a mandate, will be required to review and approve the annual budget. Sub 2 is that it's a mandate that they will review and approve all contracts. Sub 3, it's at the committee's pleasure whether you want a mandate or a discretionary focus on having those contracts looked at in the sense of the principles of sound business insurance and the payments under the contract that are for specified services, whether or not you're going to require them to approve contracts if they meet those 2 points, or it's remaining at their discretion.
Okay, again, as Senator Walker pointed out, sound business and insurance principles, that's again a kind of subjective concept. You're going to, by changing it to shall, you move in a direction of saying you shall approve contracts with groups or trade associations that are supported by sound business principles, sound insurance principles that are made under the contract for specified services.
Maybe Mr. Chair should say it shall only approve contracts with groups or trade associations that are supported
like
by
that.
Sound business and insurance principles. I mean, it's pretty.
Senator Starr, you came up with shall. How about shall only? I see what that does. It creates a flexibility.
It does.
Because it also implies that they don't do it if they do do it if.
Mm-hmm.
So we could, is there consensus on this little one that we move ahead, it's logical, but we change may to shall only?
You'd have to take out provided to make it read right.
Mm-hmm.
Just shall only approve contracts with groups or trade associations that are supported by sound business and insurance.
Okay. Is there agreement that we would move forward in drafting that? Is there comment that you guys...
Better language.
Mr. Chair, I think that works just fine. Originally, we started out by saying may not approve contracts unless
right.
they are supported by. And I think it works to go with the way Senator Berger is suggesting. I mean, I think we're all getting to the same bottom line. I think we were just trying to say it in a more positive voice, but it may work better to go the other way.
Okay. Are there four of us that agree on that?
I'm fine.
Huh? That's fine.
I think it's fine the way it is. I think that's very clear. You shall not do this unless, you know, they meet the criteria.
That's the original.
But I know that's the original. I'm happy with that, but I'm happy with this too.
Shall only. Okay.
I'm happy.
Well, we will have that little one redrafted. And B, is there any question about sub B here? We all agree. So shall only approve contracts with groups or trade associations that are supported by sound business and insurance principles, and that, and do the wordsmithing. Payments made under the contract are for specified services. We agree with that one?
I do agree with that one, Mr. Chair, because I think that there was a lack of specificity in at least one of the contracts that SAFE had. And I think this means that it just makes them more accountable, and it's they have it in the purple, so they like it and agree to it. So,
okay, just to wrap up here, what I'm going to do is we're going to go ahead and draft those two little amendments. Senator Starr is working on dash 8. We've pretty much said we're not going to proceed with 7 and 9 at this point, and I'm going to call the if we have time on Thursday, we can carry stuff over from today to Thursday. If we have time on Thursday, we'll try and get through some more of this. We have other agenda items, but some of this may get carried through to Thursday. Okay? And
I'd just like to be satisfied about the public records law. I
do you think we have time to do that this afternoon?
I don't know what Mrs. Rockland's response would be, or Mr. DiLorenzo, but it seems to me that if they still are not satisfied that the public records law as it applies to other agencies is satisfactory, I would want to hear why that is now that I've gotten the list from SAFE Corporation. There must be some reason. I don't think that they're coming up with...
I guess I'm going to ask Senator Verger for you to have that as a sidebar conversation.
Sure.
which you can do right after we adjourn in 20 seconds. We will come back, and I agree with your point that public records is a big issue, and the sovereign immunity issue is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And we will reconvene on Thursday to deal with that, okay? And other things, of course.
And Mr. Chair, one of the reasons that I would be concerned about it is that if I were to call and ask for a record that I thought was on the okay list and was told no, I was sorry that I could, after we've finished all of this. So I'd rather do it now and have it clear in my mind what I cannot ask for and see and what I can.
Okay. I understand what you're saying. With that, I'm going to adjourn the hearing on 310 and the committee for day. We will carry some of this over till Thursday. Thank you for coming this evening.